The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But look, I guess part of doing this job sometimes to be a therapist, and we're not going to sugarcoat it. I mean, there's nothing good about the way the Phillies ended. But we can try to pep you up with Eagles tickets, and we're going to do that at 8 o'clock today. I know, right? Eagles and the Browns play on Sunday.
Beautiful day on Sunday.
Beautiful. As I said earlier, we better get a convincing win, because that's the only thing that'll convince me, and I think most of us, that we actually have an elite football team this year.
I want to see a win where our quarterback is under center a lot.
I agree.
A lot.
I agree,
like, all the stuff you told us was going to be, it better happen. Like, a lot of it.
It better be.
But, Joe, I don't think they could do anything against the Browns where we'll all be like, they're elite. After, yeah. Even if they win by 30,
James,
you know?
But they can make us feel a lot.
Without a doubt.
If the Eagles lose.
Oh, it'll be a disaster.
Holy hell.
I mean,
hell.
Even if they win by, like, 2 points, we're not going to feel good.
I am so sick of excuse me wins. Did you guys see the line
to this game?
It's about, what, eight, right?
It's up to 9.5.
Wow.
Largest in some places.
Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk some more, Phil. So phone lines for you, 215-592-9494. We're sprinkling in the Eagles. But heaviest on the Phils for obvious reasons. Our chance today, as we broadcast from Borgata this morning, for the first time since the death of this year's Phillies team, we welcome in and we love him, Mr. Ruben Amar. Ruben, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Ruben, there's so much to get to. Two things right out of the gate. First, your reaction to what happened.
Well, I'm not all that surprised, to be frank with you. I mean, we just didn't play great baseball in the second half of the season, and the Mets were playing great baseball the second half of the season. And you know, you can talk about mojo, you can talk about a whole bunch of different things, but the reality of it was, as a team, the Mets were playing better baseball, and they were a better team overall playing at the end of the season. And unfortunately, the Phillies were not able to execute, the Mets were, and here's where we are. And I mean, this is
who disappointed you the most?
I think the offense, just in general, really disappointed me because I thought they would make the adjustments that were necessary, and they just got exploited. I mean, the swing decisions.
Exploited is a great word for that.
They really were exploited, and they were exploited.
Can
like
I say
they
this,
were
Ruben,
in the playoffs last year.
They exploited themselves.
Yeah, and I sort
they exposed themselves to that exploitation.
Yeah, I agree
they
with that.
They said, hey, come on in and throw me a ball
in
the dirt.
That's so crazy.
Because I'm going to swing. Throw me another ball in the dirt because I'm going to swing. You know what, pitcher? Throw me another ball in the dirt. You know why? Because I'm going to swing.
Yeah, they sabotaged themselves with their dumb approach. So why didn't they fix it, Ruben?
I think that there was some tension. They played with a lot of tension. And I think they played with an expectation and a heaviness that the Mets did not have. The Mets, for me, were playing with house money. They were playing loose and free and easy, and they had a culture in their clubhouse that they changed dramatically. It was like a cosmic shift that they had in the middle of the season when they had
It's about as light as you can get it's the big purple grimace guy. Like, really, that is light and fun as it.
They were enjoying baseball, and the Phillies were not.
Yeah.
It was still like business for the Phillies, and it was not joy.
So, Ruben, we will continue to, obviously, and with everyone at 215-592-9494, break down what happened and the emotional edge of how we feel. But there is now this process to begin for what to do. You have been through this. I mean, there are very few people in the history of Philly sports that have dealt with a team with a great record, falls flat in the playoffs, and now you got to evaluate, do I react to the immediate failure, or do I look at the broader picture and say, I still got a pretty damn good team, let me be careful about dumping a bunch of players. So what do you do if you're Dave Dombrowski? I mean, you did win close to 100 games. You won like 90. What was it, James? 95?
95.
Okay. I mean, Ruben, what do you do?
They have a very good group of players, a good core group of players. I think that it's obvious that they need people who have more quality at bats. They have a bunch of dangerous and accomplished hitters. They don't have great hitters. And what I mean by that is, guys, and Bohm was that guy until the very end of the season where he just sort of disappeared.
And Trey was that guy before he got here.
Yeah, and I think he was, but he was, and he is much,
was he
much
really
streakier.
That guy?
He was pretty damn good, John.
He was much, much streakier than I had imagined. And
no, I agree, but I'm saying the
Trey
Turner
great.
With Washington and the L.A. Dodgers
no
was
doubt.
A big-time player.
Big
you
time.
Don't get $300 million without being a big-time player.
And I didn't watch him closely enough to know that he was such a free swinger. Because that's what he is. I mean, he's a hacker and a slasher. And that can be good if you're making, you know, consistent contact. But when you're swinging out of the zone and not hitting it, and you're not fouling it off, and you're not staying alive and at bats, then it makes it really difficult.
Well, and when you age with your reflexes, I mean, that's another issue with it. You can get to balls a lot when you're younger and your reflexes are quicker. You can hit more stuff.
Yeah, I think he's – I don't think he's, like, past his prime as far as eye-hand quickness.
But he's heading that direction.
I think one of the biggest things that I remember texting Stocker in the middle of the game sometimes, and while I was at home and they were on the road or what have you, or I was listening to some games, that I see this team guessing a lot. They guess a lot. It's the one of the biggest guessing teams in baseball. I don't watch
them. That's
a big
statement right there. One of the biggest guessing teams in baseball. How do you know that?
Because they're swinging out of the hand. They're almost swinging at the pitch without even seeing the pitch. They're making decisions before they even swing at the pitch. Okay, I'm going to get a, you know, there's a 66% chance I'm going to get a slider here, and I'm going to swing at it no matter what. And that's what I saw out of a lot of guys. And so I believe, and I think that's happening in hitting across the board where guys – where you no longer get like a 3-1 fastball. You get 3-1 sliders. You
right.
get 3-1 changeups. You yep. get, you know, 2-0 changeups and sliders. But I go back to like the old school of hitting thought process. Like see the ball, see it as a strike, and swing at it. And I don't know that we have enough guys in the lineup who have that approach. Harper does. I think generally he does. He does a pretty good job of it. Bohm, for the most part, does a pretty good job.
Schwarber's got a great eye.
But you look, he has a great eye, but he also does.
He does, but
he does swing and miss a lot.
But
so,
he's so gifted with his hands. His hands are
so quick.
Like, is this idea, this concept, doable as much as it was previously?
At this age, probably you can guess some. But I mean, the bottom line is this: if the pitch is not in the strike zone, you just don't swing at it. I mean, that sounds really, really simple, and I didn't do a great job of it myself in the major leagues, but because the stuff was crisper and they were also a lot better at being able to pinpoint it. But nowadays, they can't pinpoint it. A lot of these guys just throw the pitches out of the zone. They just have great stuff and great spin, and it spins a lot, and it's tough to hit. But if it's not a strike, you ain't never going
to
hit it.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. I mean, we got a lot to do with Ruben as it relates to how to move this thing forward. 215-592-9494. Again, a series of questions related to the Phillies. I mean, obviously, just your chance to get off your chest your immense disappointment, which we all feel. Also, are you shocked? I sense most people are. I'm not. You heard Ruben say he's not. I mean, they really were an average team for the last 4 months. Are you shocked? And who to keep and who to dump? Who to keep and who to dump? Let's go to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, you're on WIP.
Good morning, guys. Hello,
what's up,
Ruben.
Ed?
How's it going?
Good morning.
I'm going to sit here and play a little GM in my pajamas over my coffee. I think... You know, if Dave Dombrowski is going to go out and get a guy somehow, get Luis Arraez in here and get him in here like yesterday, I think he would be, with his contact rate, the perfect two-hole hitter. You know, you got Kyle Schwarber getting on base, Arraez moving him over, Harper knocking him in. I think that's almost a...
Isn't he a lefty? Won't that be three straight lefties? Am I wrong?
It would be.
Yeah.
It might not matter for Arraez, though.
Oh, it doesn't matter for Arraez.
Yeah, he'll hit anything anywhere. It doesn't matter.
But they're not getting Arraez.
No, the Padres are not trading Arraez.
Yeah, well, that's a. This is like.
All right, Ed,
like
let's go for Babe Ruth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like everything on my wish list to Santa, no, but he's on there. So
well, the offense was as dead as Babe Ruth. So
yeah,
that going
it was.
Yeah, so but my problem is, and I'm not doing the whole fire the analytics stat. That's dumb. Because analytics is just data. It's the people who utilize the data who do not utilize the data. It's Rob Thompson. It's his coaching staff. I don't know what the answer is, but I think
I will say this, Ed, and I don't know the answer to this. Unless the organization hounds the manager, whomever the manager is, in this case Rob Thompson, to say thou shall utilize or overutilize analytics. And I don't know how that comes down. I really don't. But I do wonder if, you know, I mean, I think with both the Eagles and Phillies, we've wondered at times if the coach or manager is influenced by front office that says this wing, which is a big wing, you're gonna listen to them a lot. You're gonna do what they tell you. And I don't know. I mean, but I think it's fair to speculate.
Yeah, I just think in terms of, you know, just looking at players, I really think they need to just boil it down to we need to find players who get on base, find players who slug, and that's it. It doesn't have to be more complicated than that.
Well, listen, but here's what is complicated, how to get those players and how to get rid of the ones you have.
I'd like to find some tough-minded guys. I mean, Alec Bohm, that attitude and flip that and bring whoever that is in here. I do think that matters, and I do think we've got a problem right now with the outlook, period, with guys like that in the clubhouse.
All right, an awful lot going on here this Friday morning as we broadcast from Borgata. I think a week that we just all can't wait to flip the page on and just start moving forward and get the brutal taste of the Phillies' loss out of our mouths. The problem is Monday's not going to make it really any easier. I mean, it's just not. Playoffs roll on, but they roll on without them. And the Phillies really did have a chance to win a World Series this year, and they blew it. We'll continue to take your reaction. Also looking ahead, of course, to what's next for the Phillies. There's a lot of elements to what's next, who to keep, who to get rid of, including Rob Thompson and others, what to do. All right, so all of that on the table. Plus, Flyers start tonight. If you didn't know, the Flyers regular season begins tonight. James, I think it's only appropriate that I start referring to the Russian as Mishkov.
I kind of like the Russian. I think it's a good nickname. I like the Russian too,
but now he's about
I liked
to...
the Soviet.
Well, that was a mistake. That was
but it was
I
fun.
Was there for that. I love that.
I guess his parents were Soviets, but I mean, he's, you know, he ain't that old. Here's the thing I'll say about Mishkov. One, I've seen him in highlights. I don't know much. Two, man, do I hear from a lot of people that he is legit.
Special, they say.
And that he is, like, clearly the Flyers' best prospect since Eric Lindros in 1990.
How fun is that?
You know? I mean, seriously.
That's fun, man.
That's the word. The word is the best prospect the Flyers have had since Lindros 32 years ago. And so, look, Mishkov, Russian, Soviet, whatever we call you, we need you. Lift us up. And I'm not just talking tonight. Like, be the dude, for 10, 15 years. Be our Bobby Clark. So, let's watch tonight. We'll see. It's a late-night game, but we'll see, and hopefully he can give him something. Now, someone who is one of the dudes in Philadelphia sports, but apparently injured again? Is that the word on Joel Embiid? Let's listen to Nick Nurse. I almost fell out of my chair when I heard this yesterday. The season starts in like 2 weeks, and it sounds like he's not ready to go, at least as of now. Listen to Nick Nurse yesterday. This is not good.
Is Joel going to make this trip?
Well, he's not here. He's had a scheduled assessment of his knee.
Okay.
That was always on the schedule. And we're still waiting for what's next.
What is on the schedule.
What is that? What is that?
Is that?
What is that?
That happen before every
it's
season?
A checkup. Like, it's a checkup.
Ruben, unless it's not. Unless it's
gonna
not.
Run you through the shop before the season starts.
What like, in the
this
world
is
that?
Possible that this is just, hey, we'll give you a
no,
once over.
Don't panic yet, guys.
I don't think we
Come
need
on.
To panic. I think it's
not yet. I'm 75% the way to
panic in another week.
Look, I know the playoffs don't start for like 6 months or whatever, but I mean, come on,
hey guys, also,
season starting.
Guys also get, you know, banged up a little bit in practice sometimes.
But
it
John,
happens, it's okay.
I don't think he's practiced.
Put your smart hat on.
I don't.
Joel Embiid's
don't
got a knee issue.
I don't want that to be the case. Joel having a knee issue if the but. Having a knee issue before the season even starts, if that's the case, holy
right.
hell.
Right, if that's the case.
Holy hell. If you've let case. It get to this point where yeah. he's now just getting that checked up on.
Come on.
After, you know, the Olympics and everything else. Like, if you've let this go, then we've got real issues.
That's my point. And I don't know where it stands. All I'm telling you is my antenna is
but
up.
But why would we ever be informed of the truth if it has been let go.
I mean, John,
to
they,
get to this point.
If this was anybody else but Embiid, you guys would be going, it's no big deal.
Well, I agree with you.
But it's point, like Chase point. Utley showing up and not being able to play.
Ooh. Also a great point.
Thank you. Remember, I remember stuff.
That was a fun time.
Rhea remembers the game Battleship, the great board game Battleship. And I think Amara's ship is sunk. Let's go to the phones. That's why he's sitting with us, by the way, now, not the GM of the team.
Love it.
Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. We'll also get to something Jalen Hurts said in the last couple of days about Sirianni. It was good. And, of course, Rhea, at 8 o'clock today, we give away tickets to the Eagles-Browns game.
NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy, gives us these tickets, give away to every home game. Been doing it for like 20 years.
Long
and it's
time.
Really awesome.
Yeah, make sure you listen at 8 o'clock for your chance to win Eagles-Browns tickets. Look, we're all down. We're all in a bad mood. I mean, we are. We're kind of joking around a little bit more today because we want to inject a little fun and enthusiasm into things and not just be at a funeral. But let's be real. I mean, the Philly season ending feels like a funeral. I mean, we love them and they're done. It stinks. Let's go to Tom right now. Tom, good morning.
Yo, Joe, good morning.
Hey, Tom.
Yo, Rube. How the hell are you, man?
I'm all right, Tom. How you doing?
Doing great, man. It's great to speak to you. It's been way too long.
Hey, appreciate it.
I got to be honest with you. These guys bother me. After the game, no one seems dejected. You know, I'm not hearing what I want to hear. I'm not hearing accountability. And if you go back to 1980, as great a player as Mike Schmidt was, Pete Rose was the guy that was going to call you out on that team. In 08, it would be Rollins, more than likely, or Utley. This team does not have that player on there yet. The police who's going to call somebody out like Bohm. And then when the coach, who's completely out of reality, finally does call Bohm out and sits him down, the next day he puts him in the five hole, basically rewarding him kind of in the way.
Well, listen, Tom, some good points so far, but I'll say this. Bohm's in the five hole at that game three because 5 through 9, nobody had hit in the first two games. Nobody.
I also just disagree with the fact that they don't have a leader. Schwarber's Kyle Schwarber is a leader, and he handles some things quietly, and so does Topper. I will assure you that Topper does handle these things behind closed doors. He doesn't do it in embarrassing guys in front of them, but he takes care of a lot of business.
Maybe he needs to.
Yeah, Ruben, that's something we touched on yesterday. Maybe he needs to do it publicly.
I do not disagree.
Well, I think the Bohm thing was public.
I disagree with that. Yeah. I disagree with that. He basically said Bohm sitting. I mean, that's about as public as it gets. Yeah.
And do we have any more information, Ruben, on what the heck went wrong with Alec
Good Bohm, question.
With his mentality?
I think there's a couple of different things that happened with him. I mean, I think that he was, after the All-Star break, I believe that, you know, he had some goals. Obviously, 100 RBIs was a big one. I think it sort of got out of his plan. And then when he hurt his hand, it sort of snowballed on him. His approach at the plate was totally different than his approach to the plate prior to the first, first half of the season. I mean, the first 3 months of the season, he was phenomenal. He was one of the best, you know, offensive players in all of baseball. And something happened, whether it was his mindset, whether it was, you know, the goals he was trying to set. I'm not sure what. Partially, probably his hand a little bit, but there was something going on that I don't really know. All the story about it, but there was something different because he had a real shift in his overall approach.
Well, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day because Bohm is in two different polls today, both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and at Armin Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor survivors and, of course, remember those that have passed away. We all always hope for a cure. ArminChevy.com. First poll question, which of these players... James, give me an answer here from your standpoint. Which of these players do you think is most likely to not be a Philly next year? Bohm, Castellanos, Stott.
Bohm.
Why?
I just think that he's the most... Like, we saw issues at the end of the season, the way he's acted, the way he's gone about his business. I just think he makes the most sense, especially if we're talking about Aiden Miller, him and Crawford, the two prospects most likely to potentially help this team this next year and certainly the year after that. And he's not going to play shortstop with Trey there, so I think Aiden Miller is going to be a third baseman. So I just think Bohm makes sense in terms of the way this season ended, the fact that you have to pay Bohm after this upcoming year, and I don't think they're going to want to pay him $80 million, $90
million. You're trying to trade him for an outfielder?
Absolutely.
So how appealing is he with extremely in life.
I think extremely really,
appealing. I agree.
Okay, so I think there'd be a market. There's a market for Alec Boehm. There's a market for Alec
Boehm. Listen, I'm not going to say whether or not they're going to try to trade him or should trade him. Those are decisions I'm gladly do not make anymore. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. They need to improve somewhere, and part of it is maybe having to move some younger talent to get young controllable talent, but different type of
Ruben, are you open-minded to moving Stott? I never thought that 365 days ago we'd have this conversation. I was extremely disappointed by his offensive season. Would you be open-minded to moving him?
I would not want to move him because I'd like to move him to shortstop. Mm-hmm. I want him to be our shortstop. That's what I would do.
Turner, obviously. You think they would move Turner to the outfielder?
I don't believe they would do that, but that would be something. If I was king of the world, I would move Turner to the outfield and make him
do
the
left
fielder. I would put Stott to
short. Why would they not do it if Stott is better suited? Is it just to preserve Trey Turner's feelings?
No, I think part of it is because when he was signed here, he was signed to be a shortstop. He was told he's going to be the shortstop. Yeah, but hard to go back on that.
But if he has... If it has moved to where Bryson Stott gives us a better chance to win at shortstop...
Which he does.
...than Trey Turner does... Then it should make sense that would be the
well. Here's my question to you as the GM. Trey Turner, are you asking him if he'll play the outfield, or are you telling him he'll play the outfield?
Oh, I think it's a definite ask. I mean, you have to give the guy. I mean, if you've told now, I don't know this because I'm not in those meetings. That's not my job anymore.
Sure, I get
but
it.
But my understanding is that he came to be the shortstop of the Philadelphia Phillies for the next 10 or 11 years. And so,
but things change, right?
Things do change. I'm not sure if that's what they're going to do. This is just my opinion that I believe that they're a better team if they put him in the outfield and allow him to do that, and not worry about playing in the infield. Let him do his offensive thing because he's a very accomplished offensive player and can be again and will be, and allow other guys to play in the other positions.
Well, let's get a lot of calls in here. I mean, it's a.
I love that.
Well, the problem is it's not going to happen.
Why?
So love it all you want. Because they won't approach him and ask him or tell him to move to the outfield.
Why? I don't know that that's true or not.
I will be shocked if they do.
They should talk to the assistant general manager, Bryce Harper, and get him to talk to his buddy.
You're right, Ray. They should. You're actually right. They should do that.
Honestly, they may not have the same opinion. They might say, you know what, he's better off at shortstop than anywhere else.
But everybody knows he's a deficient shortstop for
they're
a great
They're not going to do it, though. Ruben's right. They're just not going to do it.
They're not going to do it.
There's no chance.
They're not going to do it.
I don't know that they will or they won't. But
I'll be stunned if they do.
I would be like as surprised as anything that could happen this offseason.
James,
what would be more surprising?
If it makes them a better team, why is it surprising?
What would be more surprising
would be... They paid him $300 million.
What would be more surprising to me would... be if he actually moves to left field.
Agree. That's my point. I don't think there's any chance it's happening.
If he would do it, I would be surprised by that because the guy wants to be I think he wants to be a Hall of Famer at short. And with his numbers, he's got a chance to be in a Hall of Fame shortstop.
All right, let's get to Matt. He's calling.
I get that, but how selfish does that sound? You know what I mean?
I agree.
No, I don't blame you, Ruben. I agree with you. I think you're dead on right, but that's incredibly selfish if that is true.
I don't know if it's selfish. I just think that's his mindset.
Of course it is. He's been a shortstop.
He's been a shortstop basically all his life.
But whatever. If they say to you, hey, Trey, it's better for the Philadelphia Phillies if you're a left fielder, and he's like, I don't want to, like, that's selfish. There's no other way around it.
Dude, that's like Devin White saying, I don't want to play special teams.
Exactly.
I got no time for that. I guess you can look at it that way. Were we a better team this year, Ruben, with Bryce Harper as a first baseman compared to Bryce Harper as an outfielder?
Well, and let me add this question to that question. Should they have brought Rhys Hoskins back?
I don't think so. I think they did the right thing.
He's certainly better than Rojas, though.
I do think just overall, I think it's set up better for this team to allow Kyle Schwarber to DH. You let Kyle Schwarber DH,
that's
the right thing to do because he's a DH.
But, Ruben, I got to tell you, I know you're a defensive disaster if Hoskins is at first and Schwarber's in left or one of them's DH and the other one's of them's in the field. But,
they made it to the World Series with
that. They did. So. I mean, Rojas is not a Major League Baseball player.
I think that
he is not.
I do believe that there need to be changes in the outfield. We need better offensive production out of your center fielder and your left fielder, because I really honestly, and I thought there'd be more development on guys with like Stott. He was disappointing because he did not develop as much as I thought he would. To make that lineup as deep as we thought it was, as deep as I thought it was, and what we saw out of Stott was he just couldn't get to a fastball consistently for some reason, and didn't you know make the adjustments that were necessary to become the next level player,
or doesn't have the bat speed.
I think he does.
He was getting blown away by fastballs.
The fastball was beating him.
All right, second poll question. Of these two, who would you rather have on the Phillies next year, Boehm or Castellanos? Sign me up for Boehm, even though I know Castellanos is going to win this poll because he played better lately. Boehm is younger. I think he's better, and I think he projects to being better for the next 2 to 5 years. But I know James's point. You got prospects coming up. That is to be strongly considered. Let's go to Matt right now in Newtown Square. Matt, you're on WIP.
Yeah, morning, guys. How's it going?
I'm frustrated again, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm bummed. I mean, I watched, just like a lot of Philadelphia, almost 162 games of baseball this year, and to put the whole heart into the team like this, like most of Philly, it's unacceptable for them to go out this way. It's sickening.
I'll just say this, Matt. I don't think it's unacceptable to lose, because I accept that often happens in sports, particularly in the playoffs against good and great teams. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. To have the type of at bats
how they
have.
Lost.
Yes.
It's not unacceptable to lose. It's unacceptable to lose the way they laid down.
I agree
down.
With that.
That's the problem. Yeah.
Exactly. And, I mean, I want to just talk about Alec Boehm for 1 sec. I mean, that interview, the audacity to hear and to watch his smirk when he talks about his approach at the plate, that he knows where he'll be next year. Are you kidding me? You don't even know where you are on the field. The situational baseball that you see from him defensively, too, not just offensively. He loaded the bases twice. I mean,
yeah, and that was part of what led to Rangers' pitch count, which is part of what led to Hoffman having to get up, which is part of what led to Hoffman being a bit cooked in the sixth inning. I mean,
great point.
There was a cumulative
effect.
He's not
the third baseman everyone said he improved into being.
No, he just
did, but he had a bad defensive series.
And also, I think he's just
was still bad.
Yeah, average at best is the point.
Guys. Anyone who's played T-ball knows when there's two outs, a ground ball hits you at third base, you throw the ball to first base, and you're out of the inning.
Yeah.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
I know.
And then maybe that sparks a bat. I mean, I don't know. But
I know.
It's beyond me. I don't know. I'm a Delco guy, and I think as soon as he started dating a Delco chick, I think his whole career went downhill. So I think that's on us. I'll take that one.
All right, Matt. You got
always
it,
blaming the women.
Well, I don't think he's blaming the women. I think he's blaming himself. I think he's blaming Boehm, but that's who knows. All right, so let's listen to Jalen Hurts for a moment. Why? Well, for two reasons. They're about to play a game in 2 days. And over the bye, I don't know, John, maybe Hurts and Sirianni broke some bread.
Figured it out.
That's the way Hurts is presenting it. Let's hope it's true. It was good. I'll tell you this.
It's like Jeffrey Lurie and Jason Peters.
Well... Yeah, I don't know about. I don't like that analogy.
That we're best friends. It was a joke. Come on.
Yeah. Let's listen. Thanksgiving's coming up in a month. What was it?
November and a half.
You got the Pilgrims and you got the Indians.
He doesn't know when.
Pilgrims and the Indians sit down and break bread.
When is Thanksgiving?
They
is it November 11th?
The last Thursday.
It's July 4th, Joe.
I guess I don't know.
You really don't know.
My brain didn't go there.
Last Thursday.
Guys, I'm trying to figure out who to keep and who to get rid of on the Phillies. And I'm trying to figure out if Thanksgiving is the right analogy for breaking bread. Yeah, and I think it was a lot better than freaking Jason Peters and Jeffrey Lurie.
You should not have to engage your brain at any point to figure out when Thanksgiving is.
Boom. All right, fair enough. So, Hurts, even if it's not true, at the very least, it was presented finally by Jalen Hurts with like, hey, me and the coach are good. And that made me happy. Let's listen to Jalen. This was a couple days ago. You may have missed it because there was so much going on with the Eagles. But Hurts talking the other day about the bye and about him and Sirianni.
With Nick over the bye week.
What prompted that? It might, you know, somebody might say, okay, it's the bye week. I need to get away. I need to clear my head and then come back fresh. But it sounds like you guys both felt the need to come together and deal with some stuff.
Well, we're the two leaders of the team, you know, and I'm happy and fortunate that, you know, we were able to come together in harmony and have the same goal in mind and trying to get this thing right. I got a ton of confidence in him, a ton of confidence in what he brings and everything he's been able to accomplish, and just continue to press on that. You know, everybody goes through different moments. Everybody experiences adversity, but we've experienced different levels of adversity together, and we're excited for what's to come.
You really felt like it was a key thing. Like you guys needed to kind of have this summit.
I felt like it was something that just happened.
Look, wow! It's great. That was awesome. It's right.
That was awesome. We've been waiting forever for that,
James. I don't know quite what it'll mean, but at least he said it. It sounded authentic, and if they had some kind of meeting in the minds and meeting in the hearts, good for them.
And good for us, Joe.
And good
for
us.
Because if I look at this thing and say, like, what's the easiest way for this all to fall apart? It's that relationship.
Yeah. No, that's
so
good.
I'm with you. That made me really happy.
And that flew under the radar because everyone's paying attention to the Phillies, and I wanted to make sure we played that. That's pretty significant.
Well, you know that they should be having like meetings like this every day.
Thank you, John. That I'm not as over the moon as you and James
about that.
This
is supposed to be the way it works.
He never really said anything nice about Sirianni.
Oh, we have our moments. Even "we have our moments" was a week ago.
I think it's awesome.
Your starting quarterback saying something about the coach is a problem.
No, I agree, and it's why I said I don't know where it goes from here.
Yeah, but hopefully,
it's a step in the right direction.
I agree. That's my point. It's a step in the right direction. By the way,
we can't rip this kid nonstop all year. Say the right thing, and then when he does say the right thing, not give him a little credit
for saying the right thing. I'm allowed to have my own opinion about it.
My opinion is
it's a problem when you have to have a meeting with your coach.
All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Something Trey Turner said after the game. I don't play it for Ruben because it was pretty significant postgame. Also, Pete the Hammer coming up in 5 minutes. 5 minutes time. And we'll take on the contest line, the fifth caller on the contest line. 215-988-1258. Caller 5, contest line, 215-988-1258. You'll be competing in Beat the Hammer coming up in 5 minutes. And look, you're not going to get a huge celebration from me if I win because, one, I lost last week. Two weeks ago, whenever the hell it was. Two, I'm in a bad mood because of the Phillies.
You can't help yourself if you win.
No, this will be muted. This will be Barry Sanders. I flip the ball to the ref and say, let's get ready for next week.
That's not what the people want.
No, that's what we want. People don't want a celebration today.
For your second loss in a row. No, I can't do it. No, I will say I might not have a big celebration.
I think you're way off.
But I might have a good...
I think you know you're way off, and you're just... Right now, you are worried.
I'll tell you this. I have a good entrance to Beat the Hammer plant.
What do you mean?
That's a good entrance? That's all I'm going to say.
Like pro wrestling style? You're going to be
sort of
down the aisle?
Not that, but I got
something in your back pocket?
I have some audio in my back pocket.
Oh, God. Is James in on this?
James might not know what it is. He knows, I don't know what it is.
I know to play it, but I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, he doesn't know. Wechter's the only one that knows what's in there, and I look forward to everyone learning in a couple minutes. Jerry and Radnor right now. Jerry.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Jerry.
So I've got a couple thoughts on going forward, what I think needs to happen. And, you know, I'll say I agree with everything Ruben said, virtually everything you said, Joe, and a lot of what you said, John. But my take on it is this. They have 3 fourth outfielders for left and center. They've got an offensive problem potentially at second base. They've got to get Bohm's head straight. And they've got an offensive problem at catcher. They're paying JT to be a high-end offensive catcher.
Yeah.
And that ship has sailed.
I'll just say, Jerry, that last one bothers me the least because you can play him 100 games, play Marchand a lot. You can bat JT 7th or 8th. You can lessen the burden. And there's only 1 year left on the deal. What you don't do is extend him with a new contract this offseason. But a team can win the World Series with JT Realmuto as the catcher, but not batting 4th, 5th, or 6th anymore.
Well, that's one of my points, right? So Marshawn should have been on this team.
He should have been on the team.
That he wasn't.
He should have been.
And JT shouldn't play any more than 85 games next year. He might be a better offensive player with a lot more rest. But you're right. Mm. It's not the biggest issue. But with all the other issues in the lineup, that's an issue. And
well, yeah, to your point about the outfield, the reason JT had about fifth or sixth is, I mean, I got to tell you, Jerry, I don't know, like, I don't know if a team has ever won the World Series with outfielders hitting eighth and ninth, but that's what this team was trying to do. They were trying to win the World Series with outfielders hitting eighth and ninth. That is maybe never been done before. I mean, it's preposterous to have outfielders hitting eighth and ninth.
Here's my thought on, like, they're in a bit of a quandary because they've got two premier prospects in Justin Crawford and Aiden Miller. If they were coming next year in April, they were going to be starters, that would make this easier for Dombrowski. But it's hard to go out and get guys to make a trade, sign a guy to a long-term contract as a free agent or whatever when you got those two guys coming. I think they need to fix one of the outfield spots. And Crawford, as long as he is what he certainly appears to be, he'll be here by the All-Star break. And you can platoon in center or left. And then, honestly, I would keep Boehm. You know, Mike Schmidt, fans hated him in the 70s. He's not Mike Schmidt, but I think it's all between the years. If they can get him right between the years, I agree with you, Joe. There's no way we get rid of Boehm. He's highly valuable.
Well, there is a way, but I just wouldn't be inclined to do it. I mean, I am very careful about trading young players who are pretty good, and he's pretty good and he's young. And I know everybody wants their pound of flesh right now, Jerry, and I do too, but I'm also trying to be smart about it. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Alec Boehm, like, just again, I'll say this.
It's not about a pound of flesh, Joe. It's about, like, moving forward. I don't think it's sustainable.
Well, who's a better player, him or Castellanos?
Well, geez, you factor in age and everything.
No. Who's actually just a better player? Like, Boehm had a higher average, batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage. Everybody wants to keep Castellanos and get rid of Boehm.
But he failed when they needed him the most.
I am totally aware of that.
And
I
mean, Castellanos did not.
I get it. But you know what it also is, Ruben? It's
up
a
to the
really
plate.
Small sample size.
Nick Castellanos, four games.
I don't disagree with it, but at four games that he produced, and another guy didn't.
Boehm had a bad playoffs last year, too. Remember, we were talking about moving him out of the 4-0, all that stuff.
I'm not saying we shouldn't keep him. I'm just, you know, pointing out facts. He did not perform when he needed to be performed.
But yeah. I'll also say this. Jimmy Rollins, God bless him, love him. He's a Phillies Hall of Famer. You know, his 5 years in the playoffs, he batted .222. You don't get rid of him. I mean,
he had production.
He had big moments.
He scored some runs.
But
he had big hits.
So did Boehm the last 2 years prior to this year. I mean, he had big moments in the last two.
Joe, you understand that his mindset is not sustainable. Like,
well,
his outlook is wrong.
I do understand that.
His outlook is going to spread and make the team worse.
There's something that has to shift, I think. I don't know what was going on with him. I really don't. I don't know Alec Boehm all that well. I haven't gotten a chance to really, you know, buddy up with him. But there was obviously something going on where his approach and the way he went about the game was different.
Yeah. All right, beat the hammer in just a moment. Now, why just a moment? Because I've got some audio to play for you before beat the hammer. It is an omen of what is to come over the next 5 to 10 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, 2 days ago, and I'm guessing no one here knows this.
No, I'm laughing at you,
Reed,
saying
you know
it's an omen.
Do you know where I'm going here?
No.
Ruben, you got no clue.
How would we know where doing?
I don't know how your mind works.
Do you know what happened at Delaware
Park? Scary place to be.
Do you know what happened at Delaware Park 2 days ago?
No.
James Seltzer, the audio is called Hammer Time. Let's roll.
Mo money is in that third place position, and Ramil is let loose on the far outside, but asks the Sprout Wings to come and catch. It's Hammer Time. And Tony Eclipse and these two pass the 3/16 pole as a team, and it's Hammer Time. It asks for everything he has, the response was good, and kicks away by one. Tony Eclipse ran a huge race today,
and the others
for the Miners, including Baby Dukes, and Shooters gotta shoot, but the Rocky Run Stakes goes to It's Hammer Time. Over Tony Eclipse.
Over everybody. Hammer Time. I mean, that guy's got to be a WIP listener.
Did you have anything to do with that? Anything at all?
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was told it happened. I said, we're playing that. Seltzer, that, whoever owns that horse has got to be a WIP listener,
that's
right?
Unbelievable.
Has to be a WIP listener.
Or a big
listener.
MC Hammer fan.
Oh, yeah, MC Hammer. I'm thinking, no Jesus.
Delaware Park.
You're the only one to use that
guys,
phrase?
If that was Colorado, it's all right. That's a random. That's
maybe he's an MC Hammer fan.
Yeah, what are the chances 35
the
years
90s.
Later?
Yeah, maybe he's from Oakland.
I think he's
maybe
a Hammer
maybe it's
listener.
MC Hammer's horse.
All right. Maybe it is.
All right. Think about that.
With that said, with a record of 262-42 with Beat the Hammer, brought to us by First Trust Bank, the largest family-owned commercial bank in our region, founded in South Philadelphia in 1934, the official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles, a record of 262 and unfortunately 42 because I lost the last time we played this little game. Play a little
you
game.
Didn't just lose.
I got crushed.
You got trounced
I did.
Last week.
I did. Let's play a little game we call Beat the Hammer.
Beat the Hammer. It's time for Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
So is this like our Phillies? Like, it's not just that they lost, it's the way that they lost. Like, last week when you went down in flames, Joe.
Well, I did.
You got one right.
I did. I'd also call that a small sample size, but you know. Okay. All right, our contestant's name is Mike from Bryn Mawr. Now, he's not going to get the full-fledged hammer here.
Mike's back-to-back week, though. We had Mike and Ben Salem beat you last week. Good sign, yeah. I would say.
Listen, Mike, you're going to get a bit of a humble hammer here because I did get crushed last week. But, you're still talking to the hammer and hammer time. So, Mike, hello, buddy.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Joe. I'm here with a fair amount of humility. 262 wins is big. Ruben's not normally in the studio on Friday. I'm a big fan of Ruben, so I'm feeling some good vibes.
Well, I appreciate that. That's nice.
Okay, you. All right.
It's nice to have a fan. Mike, I got one.
Mike, you want to butter anyone else up here? I mean, what is this? You are you hoping Seltzer helps you out by buttering people up? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm going to change the questions on the fly for
him. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, what do I like when I'm in a soundproof whatever it's called these days? I mean, what do I know what goes on?
You listen to it every week. You go.
I do go back.
You know,
I typically
you know
go back.
Exactly what happens.
All right, Mike, are you really challenging the hammer?
You like, busted him.
Are you full? Are you fool enough to do that?
I am.
Oh,
love it. Great stuff, Mike. Let's go.
He
called himself
don't
a fool.
Don't talk about yourself that way.
All right,
a fool in my book.
He called himself a fool. Mike, I'm going to step into the soundproof. I don't even know what it's called these days, but it's over there.
Area. Hallway.
You know, I'm going to go to the hallway. You know, I'm going to go hallway. It's better than the other thing because I can see you guys but not hear you. All right, Mike, good luck, pal.
Just go somewhere. No one cares.
Yeah, just
get out of here. Screw out.
Beat it.
Well, let me tell you exactly where I'm going to go. I'm going to make three lefts and then a right. How you feeling, Mike? You doing all right, buddy?
He's
pretty
off.
Good.
Mike, yeah, he's been
we
off.
We feel very, very good for your sake. Very confident. I believe in you.
He doesn't look confident.
No,
Joe looks like he's beaten already.
Doesn't he look like he's
got that.
He's almost
face in the hands
as he walks.
Yeah, he's not walking.
He looks exhausted.
Line.
Yeah, this is
exasperated.
He's ready to go down. So
we have a live audience here today. More so than we've had. Four
we got
people.
Some
the
Reggie Kelly green jersey.
7:45
Yeah, how about that, Reggie White?
That is solid.
What a thrill!
He's safely
ensconced in wherever he is. All right,
yeah.
Mike, you ready to play a little game we call Beat the Hammer?
I'm ready.
All right, let's roll today. Obviously, in the wake of our Phillies breaking our hearts, category for today, we're doing a little. Tough, bad, disappointing Philadelphia losses is our category today. You ready to roll, my friend?
I am.
Clock will start as soon as the first question is finished being asked. Here we go. Question number one. 55 seconds. Here we go. Question one. Rondé Barber was one of three Buccaneers who scored a touchdown in the NFC Championship game against the Eagles in 2003. Name one of the other two.
Pass.
In 2023, only two Phillies starting players had an average over 300 in their series loss to the Diamondbacks. Name one of them.
Todd.
Trey Young was one of six Atlanta Hawks players who averaged double-digit points per game in the 2021 playoff series against the Sixers. Name one of the other five.
Bogdanovich.
In 2010, Michael Layton was one of two Flyers goalies who played in the Stanley Cup Finals versus the Blackhawks. Name the other.
Pass.
What Patriots defensive player scored a touchdown in Super Bowl 39 versus the Eagles?
Mike Vrabel.
Rondé Barber, one of three Buccaneers who scored a touchdown in the NFC Championship game against the Eagles in 03. Name one of the other two.
Time.
Okay. We got two. Not too bad. The only
Can I just say before Joe gets back, I hate this topic for Beat the Hammer.
Yeah, well, it's tough. Can I just say, and I'll be on all my, can I just say, I didn't even want to do Beat the Hammer this week. If it was up to me, we weren't going to do it. But
you did not.
I said, hey, no one wants to hear Beat the Hammer today, but you know what?
He doesn't know he's in trouble.
What is he doing? He's posing in front of the table.
Jogging and waving.
He doesn't know he's in deep trouble.
He was waving like in a parade while jogging.
He was like doing the Queen's wave.
While jogging back.
Well, I'm a royal.
All right.
Well, royal pain in the ass for sure.
Oh,
nailed it.
Oh, well done there.
Nailed
Ryan.
It.
Well done.
All right.
Mike and Bryn Mawr, how did he do?
You ready?
And why is Mawr spelled M-A-W-R? Then again, why is Trey Turner spelled T-R-E-A?
Yeah.
He's Tria. And we call him Trey?
Oh, my God.
Tria
that's
Turner.
A good call. You're not
really? Right. You're getting on his name?
No,
oh, that's all he
parents.
Does, Ruben. He's a namesman. Name is...
Stop it.
T-R-E-A.
Why is your name Joey? Joey. Joey.
All right.
Good work, Richie.
Let's rock.
All right.
Let's rock.
55 seconds, our category for the week.
By the way, can I, James, real quick, reminder to everyone listening, in 8 minutes, we are giving away tickets to the Eagles-Browns game. So
correct.
Be tuned, coming up in 8 minutes. Good. All right, go ahead, James.
We're doing bad, disappointing Philadelphia losses.
Oh, my God. Kawhi Leonard.
You ready to roll here?
Bad or disappointing?
Yeah, bad. It's bad. Just disappointing. Bad.
Joe
whatever.
Carter, Rondae Barber. Let's go.
Crappy Philadelphia losses.
Jared
you ready to roll? Here we go.
Sure. Yeah,
question number one. Rondae Barber was one of three Buccaneers who scored a touchdown in the NFC Championship game against the Eagles in 2003. Name one of the other two.
You know, I don't know. I'll come back to it.
In 2023, only two Phillies starting players had an average over 300 in their series loss to the Diamondbacks. Name one of them.
2023, you said?
Yes, last year.
2023 series loss. I'll say Stott.
Trae Young was one of six Atlanta Hawks players who averaged double-digit points per game in their 2021 playoff series against the Sixers. Name one of the other five.
I will go with Capella.
In 2010, Michael Layton was one of two Flyers goalies who played in the Stanley Cup Finals versus the Blackhawks. Name the other.
Oh, boy. Another Flyers goalie played in the series. Did he come back from injury? I'll say Boucher.
What Patriots defensive player scored a touchdown in Super Bowl 39 versus the Eagles?
Vrabel. And a Tampa Bay touchdown. Say the question again.
Two other players scored a touchdown in that game besides Rondae Barber.
I will say...
Time!
I'm going to say Allstott. What do we got?
Allstott would have been correct. It was Allstott and Keyshawn. You had a 3-2 victory.
Okay. All right. Well, I thought I had a little bit more time, so that was tight there. All right.
Very
all
right. tight. Yeah, you would have been right. It was all Scott and
Keyshawn. Because I knew Jerovicius was tackled,
yeah,
I think, around the 5-yard line.
Part of the reason I thought the question was fun.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people thought Jerovicius
was
tackled.
I was rifling between Allstott, Warrick Dunn, and Keyshawn, and I just, you know, I was gonna, I was within 1 second of saying Allstott.
Kyle Schwarber and Brandon Marsh were the Phillies over 300.
Wow, right. Brandon Marsh.
3-2 victory. Well, let's talk to Mike in Bryn Mawr. Mike, I told you it's going to be a muted response from me today, and I'm going to tell you why it's a muted response from me, Mike, and I'm going to call out, I saw somebody on TV the other day when a home run got hit at Citizens Bank Park, and the ball gets thrown back, and the guy next to the dude that throws the ball is giggling like a four-year-old, even though the Phillies had just given up a home run. That's why I'm against throwing the ball back, because people celebrate the ball being thrown back, even though our hearts are getting ripped out when a home run just got hit. My point, Mike, this is not the proper time for me to celebrate a Beat the Hammer victory because my heart is still heavy with the Phillies. With that said, I won and you lost.
Yes. Congratulations, Joe.
Thank you.
You did a nice job, Mike.
Yeah, Mike, you put up a fight.
You really did.
Yeah.
And they were tough.
You didn't do good enough. But
Mike, I think you got it in you. You can beat this fool. I believe that. Sorry.
Always the hardest the first time you play. Always the hardest the first time you play.
I think so. You're good. You're really good, Mike.
I think Richie is one of the best voices in radio.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
well, that's that. Very kind. Well, at least I do think you can beat Joe. You don't need to suck up anymore, Mike. It's over.
Yeah, you don't have to do that. I really want you to call back again because I think you can beat Joe. I believe in you, Mike.
Oh, Mike. You sound like a fine fellow. You know, Mike, for that, we're going to award you the prize today, which is,
It's a Philadelphia Eagles hat.
Eagles hat. Mike, we're flipping a hat on for you because we're giving you an attaboy, all right?
All right, Joe, congratulations. Ruben, we'll do lunch.
Sounds good.
All right, Mike, I'm going to put you on hold so we can get your information and get you that hat. And with that, let me remind everyone, that guy who challenged me, now again, I'm not going to gloat, but he did fail. And I'll remind you, if you're not thrilled with your bank, make sure you challenge them. You know, commercial banking is really important to get it right. Challenge your bank to do better for you. If they do not do better for you, well, then leave them and go to First Trust Bank, where your business will be in great shape. And with that, Victor 263, I believe it is. With that, Beat the Hammer. Let's shut it down.
Beat the Hammer on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, let's go to the phones. Nick Vermeil coming up in a few minutes. We're going to play more audio of some Phillies players post-game, some of which we played yesterday, some of which is new stuff that we hadn't played. Again, Flyers start tonight. Sixers start in a couple weeks. Looks like there's something with Joel's knee. I mean, you listen to Nick Nurse talking yesterday, and he's saying he's being checked out by the doc. I mean, I don't know what in the world that's about. Let's go to the phones. Mark in Woodbury Heights. Mark, you're on WIP.
Joe, you know who I'm upset about with this Phillies debacle?
It's a long list, so I don't know which one person you're about to say, because there's about 15 names, but which one is it? Me?
You, Joe.
Yeah. Me?
I like where this is going.
Why are you mad at me?
Because you guys, who will break down every minute issue with the Eagles, fail to recognize how flawed this lineup was way back, going back to April, going back to last year with the Diamondbacks.
I don't agree with that, Mark.
Can I finish?
Sure.
Rubin is dead on all the time with this team. He's not on all the time. You guys failed to say they swing through too many pitches. They have zero discipline, and it's been going on and on and on, and you never made light of it.
Look, Mark, I'll say this. Hold on. Let me just say this. Could we have discussed it more? Sure. We could have said it more, but to act like we talked about it a ton is ridiculous.
And on top of that, they did score the fifth most runs in baseball this year, Mark. You're acting like they're the worst offense in baseball. They just fold at the worst times, but it's not like they're a disaster all season long.
Yeah, I don't think look, Mark, I'll take criticism, but I don't think that's fair. Honestly, I really don't. Of us, but whatever. It's all good.
So this is, you guys, seriously, you dissect the Eagles like every ounce of it. With the Phillies, how could you not ask people about the lineup, the flaws in the lineup?
What are you talking about, dude? We talk about it all the time, Mark. Pay attention. Listen to the show more.
All right, James, hold on, James. James will get a little
feisty.
Yeah, James, everything's okay. Mark's okay. He's entitled to his wrong opinion. It's all right.
You guys ever ask when you have people on about how bad this lineup is? It's a bad lineup.
Well, it's not a bad lineup. And Mark, appreciate the call. They played bad at a
it's highly inefficient at the most awful of times.
No, they were in a horrible spot at a critical time. But it's not what you'd call a classically bad lineup. Classically bad lineup is, go look at the 1996 Phillies. I mean, that's a bad lineup.
All right, who was on it?
Oh, geez.
you referenced it.
Before Scott Rolen got here, which was like halfway through the year.
Let's tell you how bad.
Maybe Greg Jeffries.
Let's tell you how bad it was.
Who was it? Really?
I hit in the four hole at one point.
Wow.
I played two games against the Mets where Jim Fregosi had to put me in the four hole. That's how bad he was. In 1996. Look it up, folks.
How'd you do?
I think I drove in a run or two.
Good.
I actually had a good year in 96. But, that's how bad it was.
That's hysterical.
That's funny. That's funny.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.